Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by David Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church. Today, Pastors David and Nicole sit down with close friend, best-selling author, and fellow pastor Joel Osteen. For more information about Pastor David's teachings and ministry, visit www.davidcrank.com.
Hello, Faith Church. I am so excited about the sermon today because I have some really cool people. Number one, my wife. Notice how I put her first. Number two, one of my great friends, Joel Osteen. I know you guys at Faith Church and our campus in Palm Beach, and then everybody watching on television know and love Joel. I mean, we've been all over the country together, and I mean, walking down the halls of Congress, people are stopping him, wanting pictures. I'm like, he's bigger than you are.
I think he might be more popular than the president.
Yeah. Oh, no. Hey, man, it's great to be with you guys. Thanks for coming down and spending a little time with us. We love Faith Church. We love all of you, and just you got some great leaders. I know I don't have to tell you that, but you're plugged in at a good place. And I always think of that scripture. It says, when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish. So you guys are planted at a great place, so stay plugged in.
That's good. You know, Joel, for years and years and years now, Nicole and I have been walking through Lakewood with you and Victoria and seeing the lives that are changed. And you're just this eternal optimist, just optimistic. And it works because it's faith. You know, the Bible said, faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And I've noticed at Lakewood and at Faith Church that the more people hear the word, the more the possibilities begin to arise in your life, because you're not looking for something bad to happen. You're looking for something good to happen. Mm-hmm. And you know, I want Nicole to chime in and talk about this as well, but you got this new book, and every year in our iConnect groups and at our church, you know, when you come out with this new book, we're always like, let's get into it, because it makes your life better. And this new one is called You Can and You Will. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, you know what, David, there are eight principles, I called it, to become a winner. I call them undeniable principles, but it's things that I've seen work in my own life. It's stuff just like you were talking about, having a positive vision and, you know, expecting good things and being a person of excellence. So I felt like these are some of the core, you know, principles that can help you become all you were created to be. And that's what I love about you guys. You guys, you're full of vision. And, you know, so many times life tries to push us down. We get stuck in a rut and think, well, I'm not going to rise any higher. I can't overcome this addiction, or I'll never meet the right person. But I've learned God meets us at the level of our expectations. So if you expect little and you don't expect anything good to happen this year, then you know what? That's probably what you'll get. But I love what you guys believe, and what we believe is when you take the limits off of God, you don't know where God's going to take. And here we're sitting in this basketball arena right now where I used to watch the Rockets play basketball over there. And never in my wildest dreams did I believe I'd be a minister, or I would even write books or be in this place. But that's God's dream for our life. It's bigger than our own. So we just encourage people to take the limits off. I mean, God's already put everything in us that we need. I mean, we're equipped, we're empowered, we have gifts, we have talents. Now it's up to us to bring it out.
Totally.
You know, as I read the book, Joel, your books are some of my favorite books, and I can't read your books fast because they speak so much to me.
She's talking to that last one. You were in that for a year.
Oh, forever. I mean, we started and ended iConnect groups and started whole new rounds just because it took me so long to read it, and I would mine so much out of it. I have to read it with a pen and a highlighter and then colors as well. And as I was reading You Can, You Will, it seemed like maybe you revealed something that maybe I hadn't seen from you before, is that maybe at one point in your life, because everybody views you as such an encourager, such a cheerleader, such a giver of hope, did you have these own negative voices in your head? Because I can't imagine it. But at one point, did you ever have these negative voices and overcome it?
I really did. And it was mainly, Nicole, when I stepped up to pastor the church. You know, when my dad passed away in 1999, I knew I was supposed to do it, but every voice told me, Joel, you're not a minister. You're too quiet. You haven't been to seminary. All these voices, I mean, it wasn't just, you know, a day or two. It was just continually bombarding me. But, you know, I had to do what I asked people to do. You got to reprogram your thinking, you know, with what God says about you. I can do all things through Christ. I'm strong in the Lord. I'm equipped and empowered. And, you know, I've learned, I think I got this from you. If you don't talk to yourself, you know, negative voices will talk to you. You can talk yourself out of it, something like that. And so, you know, I think I'm naturally more optimistic. I mean, this is just my personality, but I think we all have to deal with those voices that try to push us down and say, well, yeah, great, Joel, that'll work for you. You come from a good family, or I don't have that going for me. But you know what? Where we are is not a surprise to God. You know, God's got you in the palm of His hand. If you will believe, all things are possible. If you'll take the limits off of God and really take what God's given you and make the most of it. Somebody can take the hand you've been dealt and win with it. So I'd encourage it. Let that somebody to be you.
You know, I love that. And one of the things that I think that a lot of people do is you kind of disqualify yourself by discouraging yourself. Mm-hmm. You just wake up like the other night, you know, I was like, I have a challenge with overeating, you know, and getting out of shape. My whole family did it, you know, and so I cannot keep stuff in the house that's bad because I will eat it because I get weak, you know. And so we had a bunch of junk in the house and after a party. And so I got into the refrigerator. Actually, what I did was I made a cup of coffee. And by the way, coffee is not a drug. It's a vitamin. And I went to go have the coffee, and all of a sudden my mind said, hey, you remember those little cupcake things in the refrigerator? Those would really be good with that. And I'm like, oh, yeah. So then I got two of them, set out on the front porch, and I ate them. And as soon as I was done eating them, I heard another voice in my head. You're bad. You're out of control. You said you weren't going to eat those. Look at you go. And it was the same voice that had told me, why don't you get that? And so it really is, you know, you see those cartoon characters, you got the devil on this side, God on this side. I'm like, oh, I'm going crazy. But you got to shut down those internal lies inside your head that are saying you're not going to make it, you're not going to overcome. And I love what you said about the family. If you grow up in a dysfunctional family, and I think a lot of us did, then sometimes you get to thinking that is the hand that you were dealt. When in reality, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're coming to Faith Church or you're watching on television, and you make this connection with God, you now have a brand new family. And this new family is predestined to win. I can overcome. Greater is He who is in me than he that is in the world. So this greater one's on the inside of you now. And so now your family tree essentially forked. And now you can have the dream life that you thought you would never, ever have. And I think it does come back to what you hear is exactly what you're going to say. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So Nicole and I listen to you a lot. We love to listen to T.D. Jakes and just get kind of pumped up. And sometimes I'll listen to Joel before I preach because it makes me think more positive. Like I can come across preachy because I grew up that way where, you know, you're pointing the front, why don't you? And then you calm me down and I go, oh, we don't have to yell. We can just talk. And actually it's going to be more palatable if I just talk to these people about it. And so by being around the right people, hearing the right things, I think you project the right qualities out that help you win.
Yeah, I think it's so important, you know, who you surround yourself with and just your, you know, that real battlefield, you know, we've heard it a lot, but it's in our thinking, mm-hmm. you know, and so many people, you know, we talked about, they grew up with that negative recording always in there, and they just learned to accept those voices and just, you know, what you can't do, what you're not going to become, you're the wrong race, you don't have the education, all those negative voices. But you know, if you continue to let the negative play in your mind, it'll keep you from reaching your highest potential. I tell people this is one of the most important principles I've ever learned is to change that recording. And all through the day, you know, we should be saying what God says about us. I mean, simple things like I'm blessed, I'm prosperous, I'm healthy, I'm talented, I'm forgiven, I'm attractive. I mean, many people have never thought, I'm attractive, I'm beautiful, because they focused on, you know, well, I'm overweight or I'm this or I'm that. But you know what? You're made in the image of God, and you project what you have on the inside as well. If you feel, you know, unattractive, nobody's going to feel attracted to you. And so it's just so important. Get your mind going in the right direction. Believe that God's for you, that He's already equipped you and empowered you. He's given you everything you need to fulfill your destiny. So when you run your race, when you're a believer and you shake off those negative, discouraging voices, you don't know where God's going to take you.
And you know, I don't think you have to overcome those voices one time and then you're done. Like, okay, I fought that war and now that war is over, so now I never have to fight that war again. I know every time God asks me to do something new, which is all the time, whether it's, you know, maintain a fast that He wants me to be on, whether it's something new He wants me to do in the kingdom or in the church, something new He wants me to do with my family. Every time I try to go to do this new thing, there's always a barrage of thoughts, always a barrage of self-doubts that whether I put them in myself or whether, you know, voices from the outside put them in me. And then there's always One thing about Instagram, everybody can click like. I'm so glad there's not a don't like button on that thing. Yeah. But I think we keep a mental tally in our head of likes, and even though nobody clicks don't like, we have this mental tally of don't like in our own head that anytime something new is coming up. So what are some of the things that you do or that you talk about and you can that you will that help overcome every little step, every little new challenge that comes up that you're automatically clicking, maybe they're gonna hit the don't like button for this?
You know, I think just it's that same principle of I like what you said, it's not a one-time thing, it's continually saying, okay, this thought's coming into my mind, making that decision. If it's negative and discouraging and accusing, that I don't have to dwell on it. A lot of people don't realize just because it's there, you can make that choice to say, no, I'm gonna, you know, I call it reject it and replace it with what God says about me. So just think it's on a ongoing basis. I mean, just in a bigger, broader thing, I think we have to get up in the morning and find something to be grateful for. Mm-hmm. I think how we start the day many times determines what kind of day we're going to have. Yes. And I think a lot of times people don't realize, but they lie in bed in the morning and they think, well, I don't feel like going to work and I'm tired and I got these problems. And you know, you're setting the tone for the wrong kind of day. I mean, our faith works in the positive and the negative. It's like a magnet. We just draw in what we continually think about. So I think it's important right at the start of the day to say, you know what, this is going to be a good day. I'm grateful to be alive. I mean, every day is a gift from God. Once we live this day, we can't get it back. And I think sometimes, I mean, I'm still young like you guys, but the older we get, the more you realize, hey, I'm not going to be here forever. I don't have time to waste a day being negative or worried or wondering about what somebody said or feeling like I don't measure up. It's time to say, you know what, I'm going to feel good about who I am. I'm going to make the most of this day. I'm going to be good to somebody else. And, you know, when you just, you know, so many people just call it a positive attitude, but really it's a faith-filled attitude. It's believing that God's in control. And, sure. You know, I was telling the church yesterday, just right here, that, you know, let's expect 2014 to be our best year so far. Yeah. I mean, it's easy to think, well, God, just get me through this year. But, you know, what does it hurt to believe that this year God can bring promises to pass? And this year I can break these addictions. Yes. And this year I can live healthy and whole or whatever it is, or see a dream come to pass. But when you believe, all things are possible. I mean, and I'll quit because I'm doing all the talking here. But the other thing is, God didn't say, if you can figure it out, then I can do it. Because there are situations like with my mom, you know, they told us that she had no chance of living, terminal cancer, and there was no medical solution. And, you know, of course, today she's still alive and healthy. But the point being is sometimes, you know, if you just look at it in the natural, there's no way you're going to get out of debt. There's no way you'll be promoted or no way you'll break the addiction. But God doesn't say you have to figure it out. Sometimes you got to turn your mind off, turn those negative thoughts off, and just say, God, I believe that you can make a way even though I don't see a way.
That's good. Yeah, I know you preached a sermon not long ago. The expert said we couldn't get the compact center. The expert said mom had to die. Who's the expert? You know, ultimately, God is the one who, if you take him at his word, he will do what he said he would do. I got another question, and I know you probably do too. I got a lot of them. One of which is just to get people in your world a minute. I mean, everybody sees Joel on stage, and you're like, oh yeah, you're going to tell the joke. I like to get started with something funny. We love that. We should have made you do that today. But then what's that? We've obviously been to your home many times and see where you study and where you pray and so on, but people don't know that. I mean, what's it look? Because when we read your books, you can hear you preaching.
Yeah.
So we know that the sermon that you kind of, God gives you at home and you study and then you bring it up here, that's one of the things that why your books are so great. This you can, you will, you've got to get it. What's that look like? Just the nitty gritty. I know it's kind of not a sermon that we're preaching right now necessarily, but when does that start for you? And do you start typing it out? What does it look like?
Well, I like to start every day, first half hour, just waking up and spending time with God, reading my Bible, meditating, searching my heart, praying, you know, declaring God's goodness. So I do that every morning. Okay. And that's important to me. I think that helps, you know, helps everybody to keep balance. Like I said before, it's starting the day off the right way. But on Wednesdays, I'll take that whole day just to study and to make notes, to see what I feel like that God wants me to share that weekend. And then I'll take Thursday and Friday and I'll just type it out. I'll just start there and type it out. And Saturday and Sunday, I give it. So it's really a lot of my week is preparing for what I want to share on the weekends. I have a lot of great staff that help me run the church. And, you know, I feel like if I could make it maybe more practical, you got to find that one thing you're good at.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of things I could be doing, but I feel like that's my most important thing. So I put my time and effort and energy to that. I could be running the children's department and figuring out all these different things. There's a lot of, like, but in everybody's life, but I think, you know, my most important thing that how I can be the most effective is be the best that I can on the weekend. So I think sometimes you have to say no to things and you have to realize you can't. It's a simple thing. I know if I take time to relax during the week, if I have time to exercise, if I have recreation, then I'm going to be better on the weekends. Okay. It's easy to work all the time because there's always something to do. I mean, I think everybody knows that, but I think you got to find that balance to say, I'm going to be a better mother if I take time for myself, or I'm going to be a better, you know, I'm going to be more skilled in my job if I have time to get some rest and recreation and, you know, that balance. Mm-hmm. And so I'm a big believer in that of, because I said it earlier, we can all work all the time. That's easy. It's really hard to say, you know what, I got to take time to just relax and, you know, pipe down a little bit or take time for some recreation.
Sure.
It makes you healthier.
Right.
One of the things I love to spend time in my Bible, and, you know, we've collected Bibles over the years, but I have this one. It needs to be recovered so badly. It is falling apart, but it's something that I just can't even do without right now. I'm like, I can't get rid of this one even for 6 weeks to get it recovered.
Yeah.
But I like to spend time reading books as well. And when you were just telling us that, it reminded me of Breakout when you talked about the story of the kid delivering pizzas who used to play football. And God actually, from that book, and why it's so important not to spend time reading the Bible and then spend time reading books that jog other things, and that's why I love diving into You Can, You Will, because that was the impetus or the beginning of our women's conference. The entire message was based on God telling me from your book, Nicole, stop delivering pizzas. Because I was personally involved in being involved in everything. You know, if something was going on, I knew, well, if I help, it'll make it go easier. You know, 10 hands are better than one.
Right.
And so I was constantly everywhere doing everything. So I couldn't focus on the one thing like you were just talking about. And the words that you take time to write down and the words that we take time to hear from God, the words that we take time when we get quiet all around us, it can change everything that we do in our life.
You preached a women's conference. You didn't even know it, big dog.
I like that.
But, you know, Nicole's a problem solver. And, you know, I think we all are. And I love the way you said it a minute ago that, you know, we could spend our time solving problems or we keep the main thing. What is the main thing for you?
Mm-hmm.
And whether you're a businessman, you're a mom, you're a pastor, whatever you do, you have one thing that you know God put you on the planet to do.
Mm-hmm.
And while God's trying to attract you to do that, the enemy's trying to distract you. Why don't you do this? Last night, checking in the hotel here. We go to check in, we got 10 staff members, and there's some confusion with the deal, and so finally they got it all done, and there was two of our executive pastors, they didn't have the room. So Nicole was going to figure that out for them, and I said, Nicole, it's late. We have a room. If they can't figure out how to get a hotel room, we've hired the wrong people.
<That's> right.
And they all started laughing and we went upstairs.
That's good.
But you do, you kind of think that you can solve the problems, and really you don't have any time for yourself to read so you can lead. On to another question, something that Nicole was reading in the book that we're actually getting ready to do something with Faith Church with. We're going to decorate all the lobbies with big picture frames, and we're going to just picture this. That's what God kind of put in your heart,
right?
This new series. So in the book, I want you guys to kind of talk about that section because I didn't read that section.
Oh my gosh, it came straight out of You Can, You Will as I read this chapter about putting in front of you those things that you want to do, putting in front of you those things that you want to be. We want to revisit the victories, and you talked about taking the memorials and building a memorial to talk about the victories that you've overcome. How did all of that come together, and kind of what's your thought process? Like, what do you picture for your future, and what do you put in front of you to encourage us to not stop doing that?
Yeah, it's so important. I learned this from my father. See, way back when we were in this church that held 200 people, we used to sit there as a little boy. My dad would say, look out through that wall. It's a church wall. He said, look at that big building, that 1,000-seat arena auditorium we're going to build. And, you know, I was a kid, and I thought, my dad, what is he talking about? There's some cows over there. It was a field. But you know what? The principle is you'll never rise any higher than the way you see yourself. And I've just, something that hit me one time, I encouraged a lady right here at the altar. She was believing to get married. I said, you know what? You need to get a picture frame and just have it blank. But just every time you see that, say, that's where I'm going to put my wedding picture. You got to have something in front of you. And so that whole chapter is, is filled with about vision. I think a lot of people are just stuck because they're not expecting anything better. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of some of the examples. Another thing with my dad again, but when he was having open heart surgery in the medical center here, he had me, right before the surgery, he had me go home and get his tennis shoes. Well, he was going to be in the hospital a week. He didn't need his tennis shoes. I'm talking about his running shoes. And I said, "What do you need that?" He said, "Because I want that to remind me that I'm going to be up running again." Because, yeah. You know, there are thoughts that you may not wake up from open heart surgery back, you know, a few years back. But, you know, I just think it's so important that, you know, what you see, you're moving toward. That's the principle. So I keep on my desk, you know, just some personal stuff, but I'm always looking at it. That's what I want to move towards. So I just encourage you to have something that, number one, like you said, Nicole, and we talked about that, put some signs of your victories out. You know, a lot of times we'd like to remember all the bad things, but, you know, I've got some things where my books have sold a lot of copies, and I've got the key when we moved into the compact center the mayor gave us. I have that frame, but, you know, everywhere I look, I see vision and I see victories, and then I see things that we want to accomplish. You know, I've got some maps and some TV things that we're dealing with, but you gotta, again, you're moving toward what you keep in front of you, so keep great things in front of you.
You know, the Bible says without a vision, people perish. Yeah. I always say without a vision, people go to a different parish. So I say it's pray it, wheel it, deal it, make them feel it, you know, to let people know we can't just live our life in what we did. Well, hey, back in 1919, but you do want to celebrate that, yeah. But then move forward. Right. And the picture of this thing, that's kind of what we did with our campuses in St. Louis. We didn't have any money, but God didn't ask me if I had money. He said, "Will you?" Mm-hmm. He didn't even say, "Can you?" He said, "Will you?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I'll do it." So we, you know, we bought the biggest bar in the state of Missouri, and then we bought the church in Sunset Hills, and then we just got this new campus that we're putting in Weldon Springs, and then Florida comes along. And I thought, "What, God, Florida? Why?" And he's like, "There's people in the Palm Beach County area who need what you have." I'm like, "There's a lot of great churches around Palm Beach." And he's like, "No, but there's certain ingredients that I put in your voice, and you're going to speak to those people, and they're going to know that you're their pastor." So the only thing I knew to do is years ago, I just cut out of some magazines and put it in my basement, like churches with palm trees and TV station with palm trees. And then I begin to speak over those and say, "God, you said in your word," that's one of your sermons, right? God, you said that, you know, you'd give me the desires of my heart, which is another thing. You know, sometimes we're praying, asking God, "God, help me do this. God, help me do that." And I was doing that. And God spoke to me and said, "Hey, hang on a second. Just pause. Who gave you the desire? It's not logical for you to want campuses with, you know, 100 air units on it. Who would want that? Who wants football fields or parking lots to have to repave and resurface and raise the money for it and so on?" He goes, "I put the desire in your heart. So I don't want you to come across as a beggar to me saying, 'God, will you?' Now, I put the desire in you to do this, to start the business, to lose the weight. And so now I'm going to put my super on your natural to catapult you to be able to do it." So it changed my mindset to where now, instead of saying, "God, give us the building," like a beggar, I said, "Oh, God, I thank you that you're giving us our building. God, I thank..." See, you can do that. God, people, all kinds of girls in our church couldn't have babies, and they started buying maternity clothes, having nurseries set up, and they're having kids.
Well, you know,
don't you do that, though.
While we were talking about this whole thing, I almost got like a picture in my head, because everything in me is pictures. I don't really see words, I see pictures. And I saw a picture of a hot air balloon with an anchor on it.
Mm.
And when I saw the anchor, it was when you were talking about keep those things you want to do, keep those victories in front of you. And I saw this anchor hitting the ground and not letting it go any higher. And that's, I think, what a lot of us do, because honestly, I feel right now people are really getting helped by what's being shared. And I think so many of us, including me, think about maybe a failed marriage or something that we did wrong or something that we think we're going to stumble over time and time again. And instead of celebrating our victories, we remember our faults.
Oh, yeah.
And the enemy, he'll bring up your fault in a second.
Yep.
He'll bring up what you did wrong. And what that is doing, that's anchoring us from being able to rise higher to that thing that God wants us to do. So today we're supposed to cut the cord, cut the rope, grab a saw, get some hedge clippers, and cut that anchor off of our life so we can get in this hot air balloon that we can picture the future God has for us, because we can't rise to that if we keep this anchor in the ground.
That's great.
That's a sermon right there.
That's fantastic.
She can preach.
That's fantastic. One thing you mentioned about babies, if we have time, my brother-in-law, Kevin, and my sister Lisa tried for years and years to have a baby. You know, they went through all the fertility stuff and it didn't happen. But one day they got a promotion in the mail for some Huggies diapers. And it was going out to the whole neighborhood. And, you know, Kevin saw that. You know, normally you just throw it away. I don't have any kids. But he took those. It was two diapers. He took them and he wrote a date on them. And he went in and told Lisa, he said, these are the diapers for our babies that we're going to have. Mm-hmm. And he kept those on his desk for, you know, years and years, but those were their first two diapers.
Oh my gosh, man, that's just so
they had two. They had, in this long story, but they adopted two children anyway. But it's an amazing thing though. But wow. He never told anybody he did it till afterwards. But he saw that date for like 3 years. They sat on his desk.
And I love that you. Some things don't happen immediately. Yeah.
And they don't happen the way we think necessarily. Yeah. God, give me these babies. Well, Lisa says now, you know what? I got three beautiful children. I didn't have to get pregnant. So you know, she sees a different way. And you know, you got to let God do it His way. You know, we say, God, you know, here's the person, here's how to do it, but you got to take your hands off and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. And like you said, God, you've given me these desires. You put them in me. God, I can't make it happen. So, God, I'm just going to trust you, trust His timing, trust Him to do it His way. And you know what? But keep that vision in front of you. There's nothing wrong to ask. There's nothing wrong to say, God, I want some children. I want to be married. I want to be debt free.
You know what I love about you, besides a million things, is just your heart. Mm-hmm. When you just about cried right there, it just kind of made me cry. I think that a lot of times we don't really go ahead and open up our emotions.
Yeah.
Stay broken. And that's one of the things at Faith Church I want you to know about Joel, is that he's broken. It's legitimate. He's a weeping prophet that has a word of hope to the world. And so I just want to encourage you, you know, at church, you know, it's accessible. We've already got all the books to your disposal. There it is. Get it, read it. If you're watching on television right now in Palm Beach County or St. Louis, go to Amazon and get it. Go to the bookstore and get it. It's going to be everywhere books are sold. You can, you will. And I promise you, this book, when you read it, if you watch Joel at all, you'll be hearing him talk to you. And it changes. Something happens too, you know, when you listen to you, it's great. Sometimes your mind wanders. When you're reading, it seems like you tend to stay more focused. So get it and read it. Let it change your life. Get it and give it to your friends. I think it'd be a great gift. I actually take your other book and give it to our bellman at Palm Beach. Yeah. The bellman at Palm Beach, he's probably going to get embarrassed. I won't mention his name. But I just happen to have a couple of your books, and I walked past him, and I said, hey, you know Joel Osteen? Oh, yeah. I said, read this book. About 2 hours later, I walked back down to get my car, and he said, hey, I'm already three chapters into this book, and I love it. And he liked it. And so it's just a great thing just to give people Joel, give people hope.
And really, it's a great supplement to your study plan and letting God speak to you. God speaks to you out of the Bible. God will speak to you out of other things that jog other thought processes and open your hearts to different ideas. God wants to speak a word to you right now about your future. God wants to breathe encouragement in you, and He'll use other voices to do it.
You know, before we, you know, just dismiss church and people might be watching, we're going to put this on television after our church sees it and so on. I just want you just to take a minute and look into that camera and just to pray for the people who are hurting. The mom who thinks, I'm never going to have a child. The dad, he thinks, man, I made this failure. And now in his mind, he thinks that's all people see him for. And just pray for our church and then just everybody listening.
I'd love to. Thanks so much for letting me be with you and for listening as well. But Lord, I just pray for all the people at Faith Church and those that are watching on television as well. Lord, I know you've got them in the palm of your hand, that nothing they're facing is a surprise to you. And I thank you today, Lord, that their faith has been encouraged and inspired. I thank you that we are letting go of the old, receiving the new. And just pray, Father, in 2014, they will see promises come to pass and healing and restoration, whatever may be holding them back. I thank you, Lord, today the forces of darkness are broken, that we're doing our part, cutting the cords. And I believe, Lord, like that hot air balloon, we're going to rise and become who you've created us to be. I pray for strength, for peace, for healing, for your goodness, your mercy. Lord, we put our shoulders back. We hold our head up high. We know who we are and whose we are, children of the Most High God. We believe our best days are still out in front of us. Lord, we thank you for all you've done in the past, but we just believe in the future. We'll see your goodness in greater ways. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Joel. We love you and Victoria so much. Our whole church loves you. And just get out and get a copy. If you can, you will. I promise you, it'll change your life. We open up families, grow.